You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. How are all my kindreds fighting for the right to be free out there in the dark world as the darkness gradually moves to the bottom of the glass and some of the good things can surface to the top? I am glad that I am alive and living in the year 2025. I love the future. I love what we don't know, what we may happen to find out. I love all of the technology. I love stuff like that. I've always been kind of like the person in the group that was thinking about these things 30 years ago and was laughed at. So I'm feel even better that I can be a part of being alive while all these things are actually going on. So before I start, let's announce our sponsor. Hey, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker. I'm my little cutie. He is the Senior Real Estate and Probate Specialist, Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. Again, my little darling, Kevin Pike, wonderful human being. I can't say enough. As you know, every week I have something positive to say, but he really is a very positive and good person, just like he looks. Senior Real Estate and Probate Specialist, Coldwell Banker, my love, my darling, my sweet friend, Kevin Pike, 818-571-1508. Now back to the show. So today, for our guest, he is the creator and host of Rico No Suave Talk Show, which he started in 2018. The show uplifts and aims to inspire those people and guests who come on there by providing a safe space for guests and for people to that have diverse voices in entertainment and entrepreneurship and culture. He taps into engaging conversations with his guest, allowing for dynamic expression and for the guests to highlight their stories and talk about the things that have happened to them in their life. So can we bring him on? Do we have Rico? Rico, hey, yay! Hey, Rico.
How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. The talk show people, when we get to be on the other side of the camera, is very inspiring. And I was talking about how you launched your talk show in 2018 and how you have guests that are entrepreneurs and they are cultural. Some of them are cultural landmarks, you know, yes. And people of national prominence that come on the show and you talk to them. And today we get to talk to you about your story.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Rico.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want to know, I know that in doing interviews, you and I and other people like us get to do a lot of live things like red carpets, and you could go in the green rooms. You know, we do get some little cookies and treats there from being and doing what we do.
Yeah.
But what I want to do is I want you to explain to the audience, number one, what prompted you to get into this side of the industry? Because there's a lot of sides to entertainment industry, and you happen to be on the talk show side. And then I want you to talk about what are some of the pitfalls and some of the things that can happen to us as we scurry our way to the top. You know, from everything from going on the carpet to how to hold a mic to what to say, what not to say. And if you could talk to our audience, they would love to hear your voice.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for having me on the show. You know, I'm so used to, you know, being on the other side where people thanking me for them being on my show, you know, and I think, you know, it's always good to reciprocate this as well, too. But, you know, thank you so much for actually having me, Osiris. We go way back a little bit, not more than Beatrice, but way back when it comes to us making a connection. It's always been electric. So you're an electrifying person. So human being. So I think that's why. We stay connected as, you know, as humans, but also as great talk show hosts in regards for the world to see. So I want to make sure I give you your accolades as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, the reason why I got in this industry is because I'm also an MC. So being an MC and also being a Latin dance instructor and being in front of people, I think one of the biggest things about me being able to entertain was is such a big thing for me. And I think because I speak to a lot of people, like, for example, if I'm teaching a class of 50 people, you know, I make sure that I go around and I say thank you to each one of them. And then I might have a conversation with them. They might ask, hey, so how did you get started? Or, you know, you're such a great teacher. Or they just start, we just start building conversations. So right then and there, that's basically starting my own talk show. And that was basically making those connections in regards to understanding, number one, why did you take the leap to actually do what you do? Meaning that, why did you take my class, right? Why did you want to learn how to dance shasha? But that comes in regards to a lot of practicing, right? Practicing, and also in this business, you have to be sociable, right? So part of it is not just, you know, teaching a class then walking away. It's networking, but also hospitality. This is a hospitality industry. We want to make sure that when people step on a red carpet, or if I'm interviewing someone, that is genuine. It's not just, you know, I'm just here to do it and then I never talk to you again, you know, and it's not how we did it, right? When you came on my show, look at it. We've been talking ever since. But I think it's been that communication and that connection as a talk show host, it builds, you know, it builds a lot when it comes down to it. So I think for myself, you know, it means a lot. It means a lot when I do make those type of connections as well. And I think that's the way that it actually builds over time.
So. Now, your show is a multimedia platform.
Correct.
That's hard to do on a talk show. Most people on talk shows, they either specialize on one thing, like, oh, we only bring authors or writers on, or we only bring music people on. But you are multimedia.
Right.
And I want you to explain that. One of the things I wanted you to touch on before we leave the thing about red carpets. Sure. On red carpets, at least the ones here in LA that I've been on, there are, when we see people on these shows, like if you watch the Met Gala or any of the big shows where they have people like Lala Anthony, she's one of the people, or they may get one of the entertainers to do something behind the scenes. People, Rico can vouch for this.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that have all these cameras. They have your name and your media outlet stamped on the red carpet on a piece of paper taped to where you can go and stand. If you stand outside of the spot that you're supposed to be in, they can literally push you off the carpet because they want some of the, you know, like the NBCs, the ABCs and people like that, that have these big, big studio cameras to be able to get the things that are going to the big newspapers and the big magazines. And then people that are independent, like myself, Rico and other people like that, we get our spot on the carpet. But at the same time, there's a fight to be able to get in front of the celebrity and say, hey, look here. You know, when you hear all those people going on the shows, look over here, Kim, look over here.
Yeah.
Simone, look over here. That's all of these people gathered together in one spot fighting to get the best photos. So I wanted you to speak to that.
Yeah.
And your experience of being in those situations.
I've only been in a situation a few times, but I think just being part of the press is all about, number one, accreditation. Once you get the accreditation and exactly talking to the organizing in regards to where you're going to be. For me, I just have been blessed to be able to be that one press for film festivals. And it's a delight to be able to be that, because you can enjoy, but also you don't have to worry about too much chaos.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, I think I, you know, I'm not the type of person to overtalk other people. So if I'm going to make that connection, I'm going to work to try to get that connection of interviews, not photos, but more interviews in regards to when they're stepping repeat and they're coming down to me. I think that's what I like the most, knowing that I know that they're going to come to me at one point in time, and not being able to shout over other people, because I think, number one, it just causes, how can I say, it causes a lot of stress And it causes a lot of battling between each other. And maybe it's just part of the, it's part of it, right? It's part of the chaos in regards to getting there so they can actually have something that they can actually take to their audience and continue to build. That's basically what it is. Press releases, extra, extra, read all about it, right? And I think that's one of the keys that for me, it's more of if I felt that that was the case from just doing interviews, then, you know, I think it's more of just adjusting, right? Adjusting your stance, adjusting your location as far as where you're at. So, yeah, so I think that, you know, I think that's the piece where you have to just be careful if you're trying to get into this industry and if you're actually doing photography versus video, which yeah. is different, you know, they're two different things. And if I'm more on the video side, I'm not too much as far as on the photography because I like the yeah. interaction with celebrities and also people.
Mm-hmm. And also I want to add to that is that there are a lot of politics that go on as well.
Sure.
And I wanted to address that just a little bit because we both sure. are people of color.
Yeah.
And I've never been one, and anyone that knows me, and I've been in LA a long time, mm-hmm. anyone that knows me knows that I don't jump to race. That's not just, it's just not how I think. Yeah. But if I see something repetitively going on and on with the same media outlet, yeah. then I'm, you know, then I have to say it might be something to do with my color or that I'm tall and brown skin. I might look good. They look, I don't know, whatever it is. I can say that it might be something like that.
Yeah.
But thus far, Rico, yeah. you've been able to get into places with having your culture and
yes.
your color be too much of a burden. How much or a problem? How much have, how have you been able to accomplish that?
I think it's the approach, right? The number one thing is the approach. Also, when you surprise them in regards to things that you do. Now, I always tell people this. If you're going to get in this industry and you want to get into certain places, social media is the best way to go. And the reason why I say that is because they're going to see your talent in regards to what you're doing. For example, they probably look at me and don't think I can speak Spanish. But as soon as I start speaking Spanish, they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Dominicano, es el cubano, el puertorriqueño. Where is it? But now you hear the flair. The mm-hmm. flair that kicks in. And thank God, and I'll just use this for an example. It's not really about it's who you're interacting with that understands that it's not just about color. There are some areas that maybe some people above them that might think that, but the people that actually has the right to say, we need this person, and this is where I'm gonna give you this a prime example. So I went to the Chandler International Film Festival in Arizona, and I was picked. They saw what I did. I was picked. They saw Rico No Suave. It's like, okay, we need Rico No Suave. As soon as that happened, you know, I went to go and speak with them, and, you know, I was talking to them, and then they added me on Facebook. They saw what I was doing. I started getting likes. I started getting hearts. They started seeing what I was doing. Needless to say, I did a great job at the Chandler International Film Festival when they saw me interview Tara Reid, Sean McNamara. They saw exactly what I was able to do. It wasn't about color. It was about talent then. Now what happens is that I didn't know that the owners or the organizers for the Catalina Film Festival was there. I didn't know.
No idea.
They were there. No idea. All of a sudden, they come up to me and it's like, hey, are they accommodating you for, you know, the Chandler International Film Festival? I said, no, I came on my own because I wanted to prove to them that this is my talent. This is what I, you did a fabulous job. You did an awesome job. Now, of course, you know, them being on, and one of them was Latino, right? Gina Vasquez, she's Latino. And one of the things about actually having, having her there was a gateway for her to be able to see Rico No Suave and also start talking to them in Spanish as well. So I think one of the biggest things was is that just them knowing exactly what I'm capable of doing I think that's a big thing. And then next thing you know, one of the people that was from Chicago was on their staff. Once again, I'm from Chicago.
They saw there you go.
Chicago. I made a connection as far as with her. Once I made a connection with her, she added me on Facebook. Now she started liking everything that I'm doing. They started seeing the salsa class. They didn't know about it. They didn't know I was an MC for weddings. They didn't know about it, but they saw I was doing other things. They started loving, liking, loving, liking. Next thing you know, we have a phone call. I get a phone call with them, and they said, we were very impressed by the way you handled yourself. Big word, handle yourself. Professionalism is key. Hospitality is key. But being genuine is the biggest key. If you're naturally like this and it's not a front, you will go far in it. So then they asked me to co-host the Catalina Film Festival now. So now I'm going to be doing the Catalina Film Festival co-hosting in September.
So, oh, yeah. Wow. Muy espectacular. Gracias. Yo me gusto español mucho, mucho de la lengua. Es muy romántica escuchen cuando rico hablar contigo o mí. Muy, escuchen muy romántica.
Bien. Ay, mamacita.
I love Spanish. I wish I could speak better. But it's difficult, muy difícil para hablando solamente.
Sí.
Otras personas es más importante.
Solamente necesito practicar mucho más.
I just want to spit a little bit out there. Just take. I did grow in soy de Tejas, so you know.
Oh, okay, yeah, the Tejas. Oh my God, yeah, a lot of Mexicanos allá. Tejas.
Sí, pero mexicano. Pero para mí, especialmente cuando pequeña niña, vive en la misma Cali, es mexicano familia enseñarme español.
Okay.
Y continuado en las escuelas y del colegio.
Eso está bueno y es mejor para aprender más de español con la familia también, tú conoces. Y también es muy importante para escuchar
siempre
las novelas también, los soap operas, novelas y todo, en la comida,
sí.
Comiendo de todo. Cuando está comiendo con la familia, está hablando solamente en español. Es muy importante para eso. So, I like that about you.
So, that's good porque más gente entiende español ahorita más, you know, especialmente as we go into la futura. El futuro,
claro,
la
claro.
Futura. See, a lot more people are speaking other languages, you know.
Yes, of course.
But Spanish is one of those languages that once you understand a few words, it's not like English where English people say, oh, yeah. Let's go hang and all that. They mean what they say, that their words equal what they're talking about versus us. But we're just say anything just to be kind of sounding cool or try to throw something in there to sound cool or whatever, rather than, you know, really.
Well, there's slang in Espanol también, pero it's slang for like Cubanos, Puerto Ricanos and everything, you know, where you say, oh, let's go and hang. But the proper way is, oye, vamos a platicar contigo, I mean, con nosotros, you know? That's whoever you're talking to. So it's a different way of saying it. So it's
all. You know, we say it's Father's Day. They say Dia de Madre.
It's always
Feliz cumpleaños, you know? So it's like a little like, okay, now wait a minute. We said that day, they say, day of, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
But let's go back to what you were talking about and congratulations.
Thank you
for your accomplishment. I know that you had to work your toots off to get there. I know the work involved.
You know,
so
it's,
what
it's,
I wanted to go, oh, ahead. Go ahead. What I wanted ahead, to talk Laura. To you about mm-hmm. was I want to know,
yes,
when you are interviewing people and you're out there and you're showing what you can do with your stuff, you know, how you can talk and interact. And your professionalism. How much of you are you extending to the other person? Are you giving them all of the real you? Is some of it cut by professionalism? You know how we say, oh, yeah, well, we've got to talk like this, Chet, because if we say this or that, it might not sound like news, you know. rather than just saying, hey, what's going on? Like you and I are talking rather than, hi there, it's Rico. And
It's think of it like Spanglish. It's cool, right? You got to be cool on the red carpet. You got to be cool when you're interviewing people. You got to have that connection. When I interviewed, I used Sean McNamara, for example. Sean McNamara, I didn't know that this guy was a big-time producer until I looked him up on IMDb. And I treated him just like normal. But when I found out exactly who he was, I had to have the professionalism piece of giving him his flowers, number one, of all the accomplishment that he's done. That's where the professionalism. Then you flip over and start talking about some of the deeper points with his movies and how that affected him as a movie, a filmmaker, as a producer. What is in your mind when you're thinking of this, and how does it affect you as a person? Now what I'm doing is I'm actually taking a professionalism piece, but then now I'm getting a little bit personal and intact with his heart, right? To say, hey, when you're making these movies or when you're actually having these actors and actresses for a documentary and you want them to feel the way that you want them to feel for you, for yourself, what is that like for you? Then he starts bringing out, oh, that's a good question. So as they say, oh, that's a good question, that's a question that they always want people to be able to have asked to them. And it means that you got to get deep inside the person, no matter who they are. For celebrities, Viola Davis, Denzel Washington, Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, George Lopez. If I have a chance to, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say if I have a chance. When I get that chance to intervene them and interview them, I am going to go professional, but deep as well too, and also laugh. I think that's what a lot of on the red carpet, I know we're going to get to this, when you interview someone, interview them.
That's what do you mean by that?
When you interview them, interview them as if you was just, if you're standing there and you're sitting on a couch and you're speaking, just talking to them in regards to general. Have you ever heard like your mom and your dad ever say, you know what, great job on your report card. What was your favorite subject of this semester? Oh, my favorite semester was science. Why do you like science? That's really crazy. Oh, you know what? Eyes light up. It's my passion. Oh, I like to dissect frogs. I like to actually dissect little insects. I like to see the anatomy of the human body and how the bones are connected with the muscles and the bloodstream. And it just brightens me up. And you know, it just makes me feel like I'm helping the world and helping myself understand how humans are. That right there, that's when you're interviewing them. You can interview anybody you want to, but when you interview them, you're interviewing them to get as much as you can out of them for them to be themselves. That's what interviewing is about. And, you know, don't get me wrong, sometimes you only got a few minutes. You know, but you try to get what you can as much as you can. So they want to come back to you and have another conversation with you as well, too. So,
and, you know, it boils down to that. I'm sure you have had this experience where you meet someone and the intensity, even if it's 5 minutes, you just go.
Yes.
And it lingers. There, it could be a look or a glance and you go, I got to get to talk to that person. I got to know them. I just feel like there's somebody I should talk to. So my question is, how much of a person's intuition should go into an interview? Is it all facts? Is it, you know, like you, I had to actually go and get some information on you in this study.
Sure.
Is it all facts or is some of it intuition, like just leaning in and then feeling the person out and taking it from there?
No. So there's a professional, what we call a timeline, right? There's a timeline of things. For me personally, you have to get the bio. You got to understand who you're talking to. You got to understand the background, because that way it's going to give you a little bit more insight of the professional of what, for example, as an actor, right? Career-wise, you got to understand as far as what they've been going through with their movies, what movies they've been in, what type of actor are they? Are they horror? Are they drama? Are they suspense? Mm-hmm. You know, are they a comedian? Do they like comedy? If you have to be able to fill them out, then the intuition will come in there when they're starting to talk. Things may pop up. Boom. Oh, I got a question for you. I'm not side railing this, but I got a question for you. They might have something that was like, yeah, you know, me and, you know, Tom Cruise was sitting down and we were just eating, you know, we were eating in New Orleans. And then I might ask that person, oh, for real? So you were actually acting and you were sitting down with Tom Cruise to eating? Okay, cool. What did y'all eat? And then, oh man, you know what? We had some really good homemade mac and cheese. We had shrimp, barbecue shrimp. Oh, for real? Was it with the shell on it or without the shell on it? So you start getting into what they like. You start getting into, oh man, this is what they want to hear. They want to hear not kind of that round table, but they want to get a little piece of that as well too. So the intuition definitely comes in with me. Yes.
What about Johnny Carson is probably one of my favorite hosts of
me
all
too.
Time.
Me too.
I just think he was his too. I love Johnny Carson. So I go and study Johnny Carson, you know, and do things like that. So I wanted to ask you, out of all of the hosts that you and I have grown up with,
yes,
who's one of your favorite hosts, and what is it about that host that you like? Is it their style, the way they look, the way they manage the... What is it?
It was Johnny Carson.
It is?
I kid you not. I tell people that all the time. Johnny Carson was my favorite. I like Jay Leno as well, too. Jay Leno was cool because of his accent, Italian accent. That's all it was. Arsenio Hall was another one that I liked. But Johnny Carson just had that. He had that flair. He had that flair. But he also, and I saw some things behind the scenes, also interviewed a young lady, and she gonna hate it that I forgot her name. She was on my show that actually worked alongside with Johnny Carson back
really?
In the day. Yes, and I have to give you the name, but and I asked her, how was it working, you know, behind the scene with Johnny? He said he was a natural. He loved people, and he was the man. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about. He said you do get people that's kind of stiff, and they, you know, they get to that area, and you know, they don't really want to talk to you as much. But Johnny Carson talked to everybody. And I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. That's me right there. And just, you know, watching him and how he actually had co-hosts and things like that and how he used to talk, he was always laughing.
Not only he was always laughing, he was cool. The way he was, it wasn't like he was very loud. He's Scorpio.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was very loud, but it was just the way his style, how he just creep in there.
Yeah.
And he laughed enough, but I never saw his face just go like, you know, like Martin Lawrence, like I just told a joke and I'm just cracking up. It was always still some element of control that
yes,
he had. Yeah. He always still had some little element of control.
Yes.
Like, I'll give you some of me, but I'm not going to give you all.
The whole thing.
Not Let me all. Give Ed McMahon a little chance to give you a little bit of him. I love Johnny Carson. Do you use any of the things? Have you studied him enough? I know I have. Have you studied him enough to use some of the things or to see how those things can work, be relevant today in today's interviews, how things are done so quickly and with cell phones,
sure,
and iPhones, you know, and all those
I think of. With social media nowadays, everything is about skits and videos and how many views you can actually get out of something. But I think for me, for the most part, I think that I had to make sure that I actually use the laughter piece with being able to get into the humanity part of what people give me and feed off of that. And I think that helped me a lot. That helped me a lot because it helps me to connect with people who I want on the show and who I know they may not come back on my show. And that's, you know, that's just part of the, I wouldn't say revolving door, but there's people that I do have back on my show as well too, because we have that connection just like yesterday. You know, my show is every Wednesday. And, you know, it's, I had another guy who was a comedian. He's a corporate comedian, Greg Schwimm. Yeah, Greg Schwimm.
I remember Greg Schwimm. Yeah, I know who that is.
Greg Schwimm. I had him twice on my show. But we talked about something different. We talked about how he survived colon cancer. And that was something that we didn't talk about before. And it was during that time that he knew something was going on. But that was during the time where he was like, hey, I kept on doing my thing. And then now I wrote a book and I wrote about my, I got divorced, you know, and all that. So he actually have a book. So we have more to actually talk about, but also more to laugh about as well, too. So it was, you know, the connections that you actually have with people.
And also, you know, as we all develop and become more creative and branch out and become multimedia giants like yourself, you know, there's a lot of stages of things that go along with that. And one thing I wanted to talk to you about, back to your Catalina, you're going to host the Catalina Jazz. Is that Catalina Island here in LA? Oh, I used to go there all the time. They used to have shows back in the day. What was some of the process or processes that you would have to do in order to become a host? Because you're hosting a whole thing. So it's not like it's like one-on-one or whatever. You have to really put your mind. What kind of mindset do you have to get yourself prepared for?
Well, number one, big shout out to the people that's actually been doing the Catalina Film Festival, the organizers, but also the other hosts that I'm going to actually be there with, that's been there for quite some time as well, with 10 years that person's been there. The one thing is that you have to understand the organization and what is the blueprint. When you apply for accreditation, which I didn't apply for accreditation, it was just more of me asking them and letting them know that I was a talk show host. And I do red carpets. And they knew and they saw me right then and there. So I didn't have to really apply for normal accreditation, because I already been interviewed, right? So I was interviewed already in person and they saw what I was able to do. And with the Catalina Film Festival, you know, you, if it's your first time, you ask, where can I help? It's the best way to go. Where can I help? What can I do? I'm a talk show host. What do you want me to do? They give you that assignment. You're going to rock that assignment. Then when it comes around to it the next time around, then you can actually make suggestions and then say, hey, I think this is going to be even better the next time when we do this. Again, if there's something to be able to enhance with, you know, with ideas, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, with that being said, you know, I really didn't have to go through normal accreditation where you have to fill out a form or you have to shoot an email and say, hey, I would like to attend and I would like to be part of the press. I'm accredited as well, too. So I'm accredited. Part of the press with the association. So I'm with the press association, and those are dues that we have to pay that makes it helps you get in there anymore, even better. So,
PA. Anyway, so don't forget to go by the Blue Parrot and have some drinks while you're there. I think it's still there. It's a bar next to Catalina called the Blue Parrot. It's been there forever. Has this Blue Parrot. It's a really popular place to go. Back to what we were talking about when you interview and we're giving some of ourselves. So I want people out there to understand that no matter what you're doing, whether you're interviewing, cleaning carpets, working at the bank, the head of the bank, it is all energy. You're using your life force to give to other people.
Yeah.
You're using your life force.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, you know, Rico could probably speak to this, but I want you to speak to the audience about the kind of energy that one has to have when they're doing all of these things and how one has to take care of themselves. So you can be around in another 15, 16, 17 years like myself, Rico no suave. And you won't burn yourself out. And then in 15 years, you won't be tired. You won't be mad and angry because you expended all this time and energy and then nothing ever happened. You know, that kind of thing. I want to know what you have to say about that.
We talk about energy, love. When we talk about energy, oh, my goodness. Mindset, number one. Mindset is the first energy of approaching the date of the event. mindset of understanding who you're going to actually meet, who you're going to interview, and just be prepared for modifications. Be prepared for that. I haven't been to one yet that hasn't been modified, where we're supposed to interview this one person and that person's not ready, so we're going to bring in the other person. Because your mindset has to be ready to shift, to say, hey, all right, now I need to actually shift and say, I'm going to go, well, since Viola Davis is not ready, Tom Cruise is, all right, we're going to bring Tom Cruise up. He got to go. You only got 5 to 10 minutes. All right, let's get it on. Your mindset have to shift to Mission Impossible, right? And you got to go right then and there. And then you come back to Viola Davis and say, okay, Air. All right, let's go, Air, right? And then we work our way through it. But I think the thing about it is being able to be genuine. Be genuine. That's all. That's where the energy comes into play. Be genuine. Let them know that they're human, just like us. We treat each other with respect. You respect. They respect. It's business as well as pleasure. There's business and pleasure there. Because if your first time interviewing, you have to keep that business face on there and not bring that pleasure there until you feel that that conversation is the way that it should go well. Because they want to come back and see you. You want them to come back and see you all day. So the energy level, you got to be positive. I'm a hype guy. So I'm a hype, just like you, right? I'm a hype person. So when we're energized, we're focused energy-wise because we want to have a good time. But we're going to put our energy in regards to being professional. And then after that, our energy just comes down when it's all over and we're tired and we got to go to sleep or we go out and party. So
sometimes it's hard to bring the energy down. Like for me and probably you, I have to, like when you're out doing red carpets, I'm serious. You're like on a whole nother, all these people are moving, all these things are going on and things like that. And like Rico was saying, you have to be really quick on your feet. You do not have time for attitudes. Nobody cares if your feet are hurting and you're on your cycle and all that. That has nothing to do with your job. If you had a fight with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or whatever, your significant other, don't bring it to the job.
No.
Don't bring it to the job. It has nothing to do. You are a professional and on air until you are off air, and then you fall apart and break down and call your friends and tell them, you know, you want him killed or whatever, you know, you want her taken out of the house or whatever the thing is. Yeah. You do that. But I wanted to, before we talk about our sponsor again, I want to give a shout out again to our sponsor.
Awesome.
Yay! Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker.
Nice.
Senior Real Estate and Probate Specialist, 818-571-1508. Kevin Pike, Senior Real Estate and Probate Specialist for good old Coldwell Banker. They've been around a long time, very well established and doing well. 818-571-1508. Now back to our guest, Rico No Suave. I love that Rico. How does that
Rico? Rico No Suave.
Yeah, Rico means rich. It means rich, right? Rich. Yeah, he's rich.
Or good. Good, but what? Not smooth. You know, good. Like, okay, Rico. Okay, no Rico means, oh my God, okay, Rico, this tortilla tastes good, you know?
Now, for men, I want to ask you this before, because we're getting short on time. I want to ask you this before we go.
Sure.
For men, especially.
Sure.
Not so much girls, but I'm talking specifically for men because you're a male.
Sure.
What can you do to protect yourself when you're out doing your job from women, from people distracting you by trying to hit on you? I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Or want to talk to you and they think they know you because they've seen you on social media and you might have. You don't know these people. These people do not go online at 2 or 3 in the morning talking about, hi, I'm Paul McCartney. Hi, I'm Angelina. They don't do that. They have reps and representatives. So if you're getting something like that, I had a friend tell me, oh, yeah, Ringo or somebody reached out to me. No, he did not. Ringo Starr did not reach out to you, Ringo, whatever it was. That was a bot. Mm. And people that do computer work and technology understands those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But what I wanted to ask you about that is when you are doing your show and you're talking about what it is that you do, not your mindset, but the information that you have to retain during the time that you're talking, is it easier for a host to have something written on some cards for reference, or in sometimes, like the example, which is why I added that in, there was a news article yesterday that came out. Denzel Washington was in Cannes, I believe it was, mm-hmm. festival. Mm-hmm. A news guy, a photographer, mm-hmm. comes up and grabs his arm and mm-hmm. he's engaged. You cannot do, these people are busy. If mm-hmm. you get a second of their time, you should be thankful, grin, and say, thank you so much. And I'll use that second. What do you think about that? And how would you have handled that?
That's such a hard thing, because because one of the things is part of humanity. Like, it's, you can't get rid of the way people are trying to get close to you. You can't do that. Like for example, you know, if a young lady comes up to me and she says, hey, Rico, I'm like, no suave. Yeah, that's you, right? Yeah, Rico, no suave. Hey, you know what? I ran into a friend of yours, and you know, I've seen you as far as on your show, and you do such a great job, blah blah. I will come back and say thank you so much, and you know, thank you so much for your support. And you know, hey, don't forget, continue to subscribe and share my videos. And you know, if you have people that you know that will be, you know, that will contribute as far as to the show, mean that be a good fit for the show, let's go from there. But that, I turn that into, if someone was trying to flirt with me and they say, oh, papi chulo, you know, and they're trying to, you know, I would take that as a compliment, but I would, you know, I would keep it professional, you know what I mean? Knowing that, you know, where I'm at and what I do, you know, it's an image that I have, right? And you can't be, you know, this papi chulo of, you know, Rico Suave trying to get all the ladies, and it will hurt your image. So you have to be careful about that, because if someone does give you a compliment, you say, thank you so much, I really appreciate that, and then just move on, right? You can't sit there and just continue to take all of the compliments and keep going from there, because, you know, it's, they might think that, hey, oh, I might have a chance with him. Right. But then you have to be able to keep that as, you know, professional as possible. And the bots that you were talking about, yeah, I get them as well, too. But it's more of like trying to, you know, say, hey, we can build your credibility, or, you know, again, build your followers and things like that. Or that's it. But if there was somebody that actually saw me through someone else, then, you know, I have to investigate that and interview them to see if they are really true to what they're saying. So,
and I can imagine, and I'm going to say this, you guys, I've been in the industry a long time. We've been mm-hmm. doing this a long time. Denzel Washington, all these stars, they have been around millions of people all over the world. You know, and at some point, you have to understand, again, we're going to go back to, they're giving you energy. They're giving us their energy. That energy they're giving detracts from your own life force.
Yeah.
It's detracting from your own life. They're not a battery. You don't just plug them in. We're human. You don't plug them in. Oh, yeah, they can just run for hours and hours and hours. And then you might be their 350th person that they've had to say hi to for the day.
Yeah.
And they're tired.
Yeah.
So give them a break every once in a while if they're not like, hi, yeah, I'm so happy to see you again. And they just left 15 other people that said the same thing and pulled their arm and wanted to give them a hug. And now you only have so much energy. And then you have to give that same energy to your family. If you've got children, family, friends, you've got to extend that energy all into that whole circle of other people and do your professional work. I think it's a lot out there to remember that when you meet entertainers and you meet people that you love and you care about, a thousand other people do too.
Yeah.
And don't forget and try to put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah.
They've been doing this stuff many years and they've got to walk all day and you don't see anybody riding them around in a little ragatan thing from China where somebody's carrying them. They've got to use their own energy and life force to do these things. But I want you guys to just remember that. You were going to say something. What were you going to say?
No, I'm going to say, I'm like, man, if Denzel Washington is, if I'm like out of 350, if I'm like the 300th person, I'm like, listen, I'm not going to take too much of your time on this. I know that you're tired. Hey, I'd rather have you when I know that I can actually have you at your best. And I appreciate your time. I just want to give you your accolades, man. You can go right to the next person. I'm hoping that that will spark something with him and say, you know what? He understands, right? He understands me. And I'm not for sure if that works or not, but I know that I'm not going to give up right away and just like, say that I'll probably ask him one question and then I'll just have him going on. Cause like I said, it's humanity. I understand it. I will have my second time around and I will say, hey, I'm going to get in contact with your agent or whoever your agent is. I'm gonna see if I can get a personal interview with you and go from there.
Yeah. And a lot of people, depending on their interactions and what happened to them, there might've been somebody, you know, that didn't have the best personality or somebody that had the best personality.
Yeah.
So all of those things come into play. And as Rico is saying, you know, this is all humanity. It's all, you know, I want to get close. And then Rico, it may be that we never see them again.
True.
That may be that 5 seconds, maybe the only time you get to make your nod. Hey, you know, I've seen you before. I remember, and I'm in Hollywood. I live here. So these people are no big deal to me anymore. When I first got here 44 or something years ago, whenever it was, I was like everybody else that's young and excited. I had stars in my eyes. I want to know this one. I want to know that one. I want to go here. I want to go there. And then after a while, if you've met the stars and celebrities and you find out that they're very human and that they are not perfect and they have their up and down days and things just like we do, you give them some compassion.
That's right.
And you learn to say, hey, look, like when I ran into Russell Crowe in Beverly Hills and he got ready to get up, I said, please don't interrupt your lunch for me, honey. I love your work. Yeah. I never know what to say to them anymore. But number one, I don't put other people above me. I do not. I respect your position. It does not mean you're better than me. If I know you're Denzel or whatever, hi, I'm like the first person to bow down. But that doesn't mean that I'm gonna treat the garbage man any different than I just treated you.
That's right.
How I've learned to be. Because some of those people that are garbage drivers will be important people and you never know who's going to go where. What some of those people that are entertainers will come down. Diddy, he'll never have the same status. But those are the people that we used to idolize.
Yep.
Oh, we want to be like them. Yep. Do you really want to be like them?
Yep.
Do you really? When you get your first million, have you decided what you're going to do with it? Because to get money is one thing, but to manage it is an entirely different skill. So I want you to speak to that about when you break and when you get that moment to manage the moment where you finally, your little head has been bobbing and finally somebody says, Rico, we're calling on you to serve mankind. This is your purpose. You're going to be a host for the Catalina Film Festival. So, you know, talk about that before we go.
Yeah, I think one of the things is that we have to, for me, for myself, every moment that I have is a moment to maintain that's valuable for me. When I'm maintaining something of an opportunity that I get, that I'm in front of people, that is another step for me to be able to get to when I get to the big stage or get to the big picture. My mechanism of maintaining things is already there. I'm already preparing for that big time when it actually happens. So when it finally actually happens, I already got it ready to go.
That's so I'm talking about. We got to run out of here. I hate that we got to cut it off because I love talking to you. You already told me.
Thank you.
But anyway, listen to me. I want to hear about your social media tags where we can find out about you before we go.
So YouTube is the best place to find me, as well as Instagram. So Rico No Suave Show. So Rico No Suave Show, as you can see on my lower third there, my title, Rico No Suave, and just put the show. You'll find me on Instagram and also definitely on YouTube, right? So you'll be able to find me there and be able to communicate with me there as well, too. And yeah, that's where you'll find me.
All right. And don't forget about little me. You can find me on Instagram, Osiris_Munir_ the painter. If you Google my name, Osiris Munir, I've been everywhere. I'm everywhere at all places at all times. You can find me. I've been doing this for a long time. Also, I love you for who you are and what you do every day to be brave and strong and get out there and live your dreams and all that. And I love you. Because I like you and I love you at the same time. And
I love you too.
And I love the way that everyone stands up for themselves. And you come every week and listen to our show and listen to me talk to you. Thanks to Sam Hassan, LA Talk Radio. Thank you for letting us shine. And thanks to our guest, Rico No Suave. Don't forget to check him out on the Rico No Suave Show out of Chicago. It's based from Chi-Town. So always interesting. And don't forget about me, 15 minutes to show. We'll see you next week. And don't forget to smile. It works wonders. Bye-bye. Bye.
You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.